Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And April is Alcohol Awareness Month, if you did not know that. And it's a topic and a subject that is so important to our audience. And we're going to dig into this pretty good today with Corey Weber from Warrior's Heart. And Corey's on the phone with us here. Corey is licensed therapist, Marine Corps veteran, and also the clinical manager for Warrior's Heart. Corey, how are you?
I'm doing great today. Really good. I'm just glad to be here. This is kind of my specialty, so I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, so the thing that the program that you're talking about is how to stay sober, strong, and the top health benefits of not drinking alcohol. Before we get into that, tell me about Warrior's Heart. I think we've had you guys on here before. Talk about what kind of an organization that is.
Yeah, Warrior's Heart is located in Bandera, Texas, for the residential program. It's a 42-day program. We serve the Warriors class, which is considered the first responders. It's law enforcement officers, it's firefighters, it's active duty military, and it's also veterans. So very unique population, high level of camaraderie, but also, just a high level of service when they're working together. So we really operate as a therapeutic community, which is, we call it Warriors Healing Warriors. So even though we do therapy and group and electives and just state-of-the-art services, they heal amongst each other just as much as they heal with us. So I think that's a key to Warrior's Heart in the program. It's a 42-day residential program with the possibility of extending up to an additional 6 weeks. We have a full aftercare program with an intensive outpatient treatment, sober living, an alumni programs, and just, insulate and support the Warriors because they deserve it. And that's really our philosophy. They deserve this care. They serve their country. They serve the streets. They serve the public. They serve, everything that kind of makes up, the citizens of the United States and protect us. So they absolutely, when they come home, and we call that welcome home, when they first get here, we tell them welcome home. And some of our soldiers, warriors, military, firefighters, they've been in tough spots and maybe a real dark spot in their lives. And we've got, that's our message to you. We've got you. And it's time for you to allow someone to serve you for a period of time so that you can get better and leave here a sober, confident warrior. One of our themes is really trauma care as well. We're mm-hmm. primary substance center, but trauma care is another huge specialty. So every client that walks in the door, every warrior that walks in the door, they receive a specialist that works in the substance field, a licensed chemical dependency counselor, and they receive what we call a dual clinician, which is a licensed professional counselor, therapist, or a licensed social worker. So they're going to work primarily with their mental health. So we really pride the fact that we work in parallel with both substance and trauma or mental health care, and we treat them, simultaneously and throughout their care.
Wow, what a great effort and a great organization and so needed right now. We're talking to Corey Weber here, the National Defense licensed therapist and clinical manager for Warrior's Heart, also a Marine Corps veteran. Corey, when you get them on day zero of this 42-day stay, how do they usually come to you? Have they hit rock bottom? Have they been recommended by friends? Have they been driven there by their spouse or all of the above?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is, there is part of that all of above. And they have gotten to a dark spot in their life. And it's really difficult for warriors to ask for help. So we have a full intake department and screening department that really stays in constant contact. So we work with active military bases from the East Coast to the West Coast to the Central U.S. I've had a warrior law enforcement in Canada, so that came to us. So we're pretty diverse in where we get our clientele, and it's really what happens that we find is, even though we're strong in marketing, we find that a sober, confident warrior leaves and goes back to, let's say, New York Police Department or San Antonio Police Department or on the West Coast and L.A. Police Department. They go back to those departments and they share their stories. And there's always someone standing in the crowd that really they're in that spot, but they've been kind of hiding from it for a long time. Mm-hmm. They want to stay in the battle. So when they want to stay in the battle, they're not acknowledging what's going on with them. So to have a peer stand in front of you and say, hey, I went to Warrior's Art and I was able to leave a sober, confident warrior. I was able to kind of get my life back in line. My family's back intact. Life is better. Then they call us, you know. Wow. And so it's really a turnkey because it's really, really kind of taboo in our profession to come forward and say, hey, I have a mental health or I have a substance use disorder that's become out of control. That's a tough one there.
Yeah. And you lump the pandemic on top of that and isolation and all the other things. And there could not be a better time for Warrior's Art to be doing this. This is fantastic. When did the organization start?
It started originally in 2015, and then, you know, it started just like any other organization does. It started with one client. So, and it's built to serving over 500 clients per year and warriors per year. So it's growing. And the expansion is just, I've been able to watch it over just the last 3 years, and it's grown at least doubled in size. When I first came here, we were running about a 40 to 50 bed residential, and now we're running a 100 bed residential facility.
Oh, wow.
And we've added sober living and intensive outpatient. So we've doubled in size, or almost tripled in size in some ways.
Wow. Now, that's fantastic. We're talking to Corey Weber here at the National Defense, how to stay sober, strong, and the top health benefits of not drinking alcohol. This was a stat that I read from you guys that surprised me. Only 8.3% of 15 million adults who report an alcohol problem seeking treatment. 8.3%. Man, it's low.
Yeah, it really is low. And we talk about that. You know, we talk about somewhere in the vicinity, you know, of millions of people needing treatment. But I think, you know, when the warriors come in here, and that message is that when you step in that door, you are in the top 10%. And I think that speaks loudly to a warrior that's, you know, kind of really anxious about making this change and kind of taking a stand against their own addiction and just coming out, you know, breaking that stigma. So I think, you know, confidence building, we tell them that, hey, you are in the 10%. And when you step through that door, and like I said before, it really is, it was a turnkey. The more folks can gain sobriety, the more the message gets sent. And I think the especially active duty, I served in the 80s and 90s, and during that time, treatment was much different. It was sure a huge stigma. I think we're breaking down that stigma a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that that speaks to Warrior's Heart and other organizations like that that are getting that message out there. So as far as our audience goes and the family members of some of these folks, too, what are some warning signs of alcohol abuse that you've seen in, you know, military veterans and first responder clients?
Yeah, there's just an array of symptoms. I can kind of go through a few of them and chat about that. And I think the one thing that I have to say about this is sometimes it's really difficult. I have a warrior that I'm working with right now, and he says, my spouse, I am so adamant about, you know, this not to be known to my spouse, that when I came forward, she didn't know. And for most people, that would say, you would say, wow, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you're living with somebody, how would you not know? But, you know, in the warrior's class, weakness is really tough to show. And sometimes, you know, showing that I have a problem is showing the people around, like, I'm a protector. You know, so that's, I serve my country, that's a protection mode. I serve my family, that's kind of a protection mode. So hiding from it is huge. But I think some of the things is like changing appetite. If somebody is not, you know, eating the sleep patterns, like alcohol, a lot of folks use that because they can't sleep because of maybe traumas, nightmares. So, but they're not really sleeping. They're actually just kind of passing out as you, the more you right. drink. But the sleep patterns change. I think either not enough sleep with alcohol, prolonged use, it actually does the opposite. So initially you drink, you have a few drinks, and we publicly talk about that. You know, people have a nightcap and they have a drink before they go to bed, and it kind of slows them down, eases them down. But at large or huge quantities of use and longer term use, the sleep patterns can actually reverse where insomnia becomes an issue. So sleep patterns, I think, you know, that's if experienced trauma, anxiety, depression, they can often, you know, have difficulty sleeping, and alcohol can be an unhealthy way, or coping mechanism to sleep. So that's one. I think deterioration of their physical, like, appearance, you know, in the later stages of alcoholism, the skin can get really kind of gray, chalky, even jaundice when once the liver is affected. So I think just a puffy kind of face, deterioration of your physical appearance, yellowish skin is like the later stages of alcohol substance use disorder. So weight loss, weight gain, you know, men tend to gain it around their bellies, so to speak. And a lot of times that's, it relates to enlarged livers is what it does. It has a fatty liver. So tremors, shakes, that's another one. Of course, slurred speech, you know, gait or coordination issues. I think the one is that a lot of people believe that's really peer pressure. So originally, like, if you have a tough deployment or you have maybe a law enforcement and you have a tough call, or maybe you're an MP in the military and you have a tough call, you meet up with your buddies and you have a few drinks,
right?
And you decompress, so you learn how to deal with stress with that. But once substance becomes an issue, that no longer am I, you know, meeting with and kind of decompressing with my buddies and just having a drink and de-stress, and now I'm running to the alcohol. So what happens for a lot of veterans is they no longer go to those, you know, bars, and they start drinking alone and start in isolation because they're running to the alcohol rather than to release, if that makes sense. So a lot of isolation is if someone is in isolation, they're not, you know, talking to friends as much, they're off alone frequently, there could be a very good chance that drinking is involved in that. And then I think, you know, difficulty functioning in the morning, you know, after, you know, difficulty passing physical training tests. You know, those are all kind of symptoms that family and friends can look out and see some of those symptoms that, you know, may not know about because they may not be talking about it.
Yeah, you know, I used to work with a guy that described his early life as a functional alcoholic. So he could drink as much as he wanted and get up and go to work the next day and have nobody suspect anything that he knew about. And this was a an Army veteran.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, a lot of our vets say, hey, I'm taking care of my bills, I'm taking care of my family, and I'm taking care of, you know, I'm gaining rank, I'm being promoted, I'm functioning. But it really, you know, with large quantities and the frequency and just using on a regular basis, it really, what we see a lot of times is later in their careers is when they really start to notice that this is a problem. Because all along, it felt like exactly what you said, is that I function.
Right.
You know,
right.
if I've been promoted amongst my peers, you know, and I had a warrior recently say that in his command, he brought his command together and his team, and he was a high ranking enlisted a gentleman in the Army, and he stood in front of his team and they had no idea. They just they seen him in a totally different light. They did not know that he was struggling, and that team had been working with him for years and they just did not know. So it is. It's something that can be hidden until, you know, life becomes unmanageable, either medically, physically, mentally, or spiritually. A person kind of hits rock bottom, then I think that's, it's different for alcohol than it is for most of your drugs that are out there,
sure.
like cocaine and or methamphetamines or benzodiazepines.
Fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
Oh my
fentanyl.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That is an absolute epidemic right now. And it's just, it's horrible.
It is. It's just, it really is. And, you know, I think folks, you know, honestly, just do not know how small of a dose of fentanyl can mm-hmm. take a life. It really is. And it's an opiate. And alcohol and opiates work very similar in the brain. So folks that use alcohol at higher levels are very susceptible to opiate addiction. Mm. Opiates work in the brain to relieve physical pain. Alcohol works in the brain to relieve emotional pain. They're both unhealthy, but that they work in a very similar way to kind of relieve pain. And our brain works the same way when we look at it, the emotional pain, the physical pain. So very susceptible. And it is a drug that absolutely has wreaked havoc in our nation.
Corey, yeah, I want to get into something else with you here, too. We're talking to Corey Weber here on the National Defense. He's a licensed therapist and also clinical manager for Warriors Heart, Marine Corps veteran, how to stay sober, strong, and the top health benefits of not drinking alcohol. Let me ask you about this. So, because here's another argument that's out there, especially involving veterans and opioids, because it's been the source of a lot of pain, a lot of anguish for veterans for a long time. But now, when the medical marijuana was introduced, that was another point that, hey, you can have medical marijuana, and that will help you get off the opioids. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a huge controversy. I mean, at Warriors Heart, we're really we live under the proponent that abstinence, that anytime you trigger one drug for another drug, it's a substitute, you know, for that. You know, there are huge arguments on the benefits of medical marijuana. I know that there's some strong research out there. One of the things that our warriors come to us, and if they have extreme trauma, if they were in combat, they have, you know, brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries,
right.
TBIs. And it's really, you know, we talk about it. It's really a slippery slope if you have that type of TBI and you're trying to heal the brain, so to speak, and then you add another chemical. In that mix, you know, another medication that, like marijuana, that could affect that, that's proven that it's affected, TBIs and can actually worsen TBIs. So I think that it's one of those things where it's a topic that I think that we'll be talking about for the next decade or so. And, you know, what we teach and what I believe in is abstinence. And I think that, you know, someone, we see a lot of vets that maybe alcohol use because it's a core socially acceptable, and one, and two, it's legal. And then they get involved in other drugs when they retire, and they kind of make that switch. So addiction is very much like that. And it's kind of this slippery slope that you can replace one drug with another drug.
Yeah, we've had the VA secretary on here numerous times, and every time I kind of broach the subject with him about what the VA, when they're going to endorse medical marijuana for veterans, and the answer is always just, we're looking at it, we're researching it, and, you know, I don't know how closely you guys work with the VA, but that's kind of their stance.
It is, absolutely. We work very close with the VA. And we just stand strong that abstinence is really the key. Like, let's leave here, you know, sober, confident, and chemical free as well, the way, you know, our philosophy.
Sure. Yeah. And here's another amazing stat. 34% of service members engage in binge drinking. So what exactly, I've heard that all my life. What exactly does that mean? And what's the worst that you have seen personally?
Yeah, I think there's a part, we talk a lot about this. So we have several active duty warriors that are here as clients, and binge drinking is part of, it's been part of the culture of the military's and drinking has been going on for not just decades, centuries, you know. So to kind of change that culture, it's kind of that work hard and play hard, but I think it's beyond that. It's that, you know, I remember a story, and I believe I was a corporal at the time, and I came back from a deployment, and, you know, it was just really tough situations. And I spoke to a gunnery sergeant, the gun, and he said, I said, how do you deal with this? And he said, I drink, you know what I mean? So, you know, when you're in the mission, then usually you're not drinking at all, you know, because focus is the key.
Sure.
It's really forbidden, you know, and you need that kind of focus. You need to be mission forward. So a lot of warriors, they really kind of clean the body up, the mind up, and the spirit up in some ways, even though they're kind of in the battle, and then get back. And again, it's kind of like, how do I decompress from this? And alcohol can be one of those things where you decompress. And it may be 30 days until the next mission comes up. So in that 30 days, you know, it's a huge trigger
right.
to, you know, drink. And I think part of that's that stress, but it is. It's, I think there's a cultural part of it, and there's a why behind it that there are these, you know, mission driven. And I think the other part of it is I talk to a lot of veterans and say, it's kind of a blessing that you did have, you know, those missions, and you did have, now that you're sitting in front of us and saying, hey, I want to change my life. You did have some of those periods where you're able to clean your body up. But in the end, it will still take its toll.
So what is the worst case of binge drinking that you've seen?
You know, for most folks, the binge drinking, depending on if it's a short term, you know, like I said, it's a deployment, maybe it's a short term period, and really extreme. I think there's this rites of passage. I think when folks get promoted, everybody drinks, you know, it's just part of the kind of that rites of passage.
Good culture.
The culture, absolutely. But absolutely drinking until blackout. You know, a lot of people don't talk about alcohol overdose, but you can, you know, overdose from alcohol.
Sure.
And I've talked to several warriors that, you know, binge drink to the point where they can't remember for days. You know what I mean? Mm. And maybe somebody recorded them and they said, hey, this is what you were doing.
Oh, boy.
And so I think that's the more extreme, is when you get to a point where I don't remember for long periods of time what I was doing when I was drinking.
Man, Corey, this is such great information. How can people get help? And if they're listening to this and they go, you know what, that sounds like me. I've never admitted that to myself, but what do they need to do, whether it's Warrior's Heart or someone else, how do they get help?
Yeah, the first way to get help is just, we have an admissions crisis line at 888-438-6616. So get a hold of our crisis line. You can get a hold of our admissions teams. You can go to www.warriorsheart.com, reach out to, you know, and we on our website, we have a full, we have all the information about Warrior's Heart, testimonials, profiles from our current staff, just the and services that we provide excellence in. And I think that would be the best route to go. And, you know, and I think, you know, if someone's sitting on a department and just kind of thinking about this, and maybe I haven't come forward, I just say pick up that 1,000-pound phone and make that call. Be that top 10%. Don't be the 90%. That sits back, like, take care of your life. And, you know, at Warrior's Heart, like I said before, we got you. And I think anybody kind of trying to make that decision to pick up that phone, make that call, get on that website, talk to their spouses or loved ones about this problem. to get them in the right spot, then, you know, move forward. It's not an easy decision, I'll say that. And if it were an easy decision, we would have the other 90%
sure.
or 92%, you said, in treatment right now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We would have all of those in treatment. So I think pick up that 1,000-pound phone, so to speak, because it can be really heavy. But pick it up and give us a call.
Yeah, and man, I'll tell you what a facility you guys have. 543 acres that you have there in Texas, near San Antonio. That's a nice piece of ground, and just love what you guys are doing in terms of supporting our veterans and first responders. Corey, thank you so much for the time, man.
Yes, absolutely. It was just an absolute privilege to be on today.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.